I don't think anything's more important than that. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. The reason that Brother Sigstad likes this church is not because we're great people, because we serve a great Lord. If we don't take that for granted, then we'll continue to have preachers like us, because we love the Lord and we want to take care of. He told us today at the table, we're the only church across America that he goes to that puts gas in his tank. How does a missionary get from place to place? He drives a car, you know, usually some fly, but whatever. Wouldn't you think that would come up? Amen. I mean, you can have story after story after story, but we're the only ones that take care of him in that way, giving him a tank full of fuel so he can make it home. I mean, Bethel, whatever, you can be pretty excited that we've been taught very well on how to take care of preachers. We really have been taught very well, and I'm glad that we love the Lord enough not to keep that from them. But anyways, in Matthew chapter 6, let's all stand together. We're getting late here tonight, and I don't want to take too much of your time. But understand this, what I've got to say tonight is not something I want to say. It's something that the Lord wants to say to me. I preach this way quite often because I'm an easy target. I don't do everything that I ought to do. I'm willing to admit that, ready to admit that, and I want to show us something tonight that I hope will help us to understand that there is a difference in how we do things in our life. There's a difference in how we approach prayer in different avenues, and I think this is going to be one of those avenues that would be intriguing to you to hear about. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 5, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Brother Bobby Shell, could you lead us in prayer tonight, please? Oh, my. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. The first part of this I would like to talk about, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to be there next. But prayer is not necessarily a team effort, although it can be. We certainly can pray together. We certainly can have prayer meetings. We certainly can have the men gather around the altar and ladies can pray, or they can get together in prayer groups. There's no doubt about that. But this particular passage is talking about a time that you spend alone with your Heavenly Father, a time when you get alone. And by the way, to do that's not easy. If I would go around the room and ask you when is the last time you were alone with the Lord, I would shudder to find some of the responses. The reason I say this is because there's times, sometimes days, when I don't get alone with the Lord and don't tell Him and talk to Him and ask Him things in a basis as a friend would be. Oh, you say, well, you can't talk to the Lord as a friend. I beg to differ. The Bible says He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And I believe that we can speak to the Lord. You can go to Him with a giant vocabulary and you can take that to Him. But understand this, He made the words. I'm sure He knows them long before you can bring them. And you're not going to impress Him with your vocabulary. When He talks with you and when you talk with Him, I challenge you throughout this message today, I want you to think about this in your life. I want you to think about times that you have felt that it was important enough to talk to Him one-on-one. You say, I don't understand what you're talking about. Let me tell you something. There are times when it's not important enough for us to come here. Amen? I don't come up to this altar every single service, but I got to be honest with you. I come up here a lot, not because I want to impress you. I couldn't care less about impressing people by coming up to this altar. That means nothing to me. But there very seldom is a service where the Lord doesn't put something on my heart to bring here. I'm not ashamed to come to the altar. I'm not ashamed if you think that I'm doing bad things. Well, glory to God, think away. But the reason that I'm coming to this altar is because I want to do business. Now, the question you have to ask yourself is what then becomes important? You can pray to the Lord anywhere you are. You certainly can. There's definitely a distinct connection that we have with God that is so wonderful to be able to know that we could come boldly to the throne of grace at any time, at any moment. Whispered prayer while we're driving our cars, a thought of Him. Anytime we can come to Him. Anytime, anywhere. We're an unlimited access to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. But can I read you a few things that I believe make a difference? I believe that these are things, as I read that very first verse, I got to thinking of these things as I was going through my Bible calendar again for this year. I read this one thing, and it seems to me that it sets apart a certain thought, sets apart a certain place, sets apart a certain work that prayer is about in a thing that in my life, I don't believe I take a part in enough. Maybe we together can look at these things and come to a realization that maybe we ought to step up our prayer life some. Oh, I don't know about you. Maybe you do. But I don't pray enough. And I'm not talking about a whispered prayer trying to make your McDonald's into something that God can use. Because it takes God to make McDonald's into something you can use. But in Genesis chapter 12, can I go over just five altars? Before I get there, let me. Do you realize that these steps are carpet, wood, they happen to be in the front. This is not a stage, this is a platform. But I hate that word stage. But right up in front here is a place that we call the altar. All across America today, altar calls are not being had. Times when people can come up and deal with the Lord are not being had. And we're getting to the point in our lives where God has become that person we talk to as we're praying for the offering, or as we're standing up in Chick-fil-A acting like we're the greatest thing ever and blessing our food, or going in front of our family and acting as if we're Christian when the last time we talked to God was months ago. Nothing against praying, nothing against standing up, nothing against all those things that I said, but boy, it sure would be nice if we could get alone with God every once in a while. The devil's played a dirty trick on us. He made us busy. The devil played a dirty trick on us. He has debased our communication with the Lord. In chapter 12 and verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Understand, these three verses come directly after Abraham loses his daddy. Abraham's not going in a great way right now. Abraham, I'm sure, is in a time of mourning, a time of grief, and the Lord tells him, get out of town. How many of us, if the Lord called us away, would go? Look at this. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the place of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham only after he did what God asked him to do. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Five different times, but four different altars that I believe that Abram shows us at a time that he took a time to build an altar unto the Lord. Understand this, your altar's already built for you. Praise the Lord for that. But there's got to be a time in our lives when we come to the realization that it's important enough, it's real enough, it's right right enough to go ahead and say, I'm going to take time out right now, God, and show you how serious I am about prayer. It takes somebody serious to come here throughout the week and get at these steps and pray unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes somebody serious about prayer to shut out the world and close their door and make their bed an altar and pray unto God right there. And it has to be important enough. This first one, you see, it's where God appears unto him. It's where, how many times in your life, how many thoughts in your life have you felt like there's God? Not that you can see him with your eyes. Don't get pharisaical on me. But you know God was there. Today's a perfect example. As we were singing, How Great Thou Art, the whole chorus rang out throughout when we were singing the chorus part, and you guys were doing such a wonderful job. Eyes were moist, and we could sense the appearing of God, and yet here we came to the altar time, and I wonder, was it important enough to thank God for coming here today? Was it important enough to let God know, I love you so much, and I thank you for being here? We don't go to a church where God doesn't show up. Praise the Lord. We go to a church where the Lord shows up. And the whole reason we come to church is so the Lord will show up. I don't come to church to have coffee. I don't come to church to look at the carpets. I don't come to church to play with my iPod during the sermon. I come to... Everybody's putting their iPods away. I come to church, I'm expecting a blessing. I'm expecting my pastor to be anointed. I'm expecting the missionary, whoever's preaching, I expect them to be anointed by God. I expect God to come. And I find myself not thanking him enough for showing up. At this time, the Lord appears unto Abraham only after he had done what God asked him to do. He appears unto Abraham, tells him, this is what's going to happen. And Abram says, you know what? This is important enough right now. You know what, Lord? You've appeared unto me. This is important. This is very important. I'm going to find my way to the altar today. Matter of fact, I'm going to build one. He wasn't at Bethel Baptist Church that morning. He was at the church out in the prairie, the church out in the wilderness. And he stopped and took a moment and said, Lord, this is important enough. This is important enough to make sure that I pray. It's important enough, not just prayer. See, Brother Mike, I think there's a difference. I think there's a difference between asking for thanks for the food and coming to the altar. I think there's a difference between please let my day go well and finding yourself to the altar. I think there's a difference. I think there's a difference. You're doing a transaction of business that is important enough to make your way here. By the way, you can have an altar wherever you want. That's not the point. The point is, when is it enough that we have an altar? Abram said, you know what, Lord, you've showed up. I think it's important enough to thank you for that. As we go on further, down one more verse. And he removed from thence, after he built that altar and prayed, the Lord thanked him. He removed from thence unto a mountain unto the east of Bethel. He went to Bethel here. He wasn't at Bethel before. Now he comes to Bethel. You didn't know this building was that old, did you? On the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, this is just my humble opinion. But I believe that it was important enough for Abraham to build an altar to have God show him the direction to go. See, the Lord told him to leave. And the Lord guided his steps, and I believe he thought it was important enough to get himself to an altar and ask for God's direction. We've got some smart folks in this church. There's no doubt about that. But I'm going to be honest with you. I wonder if we are willing as Christians. Now, you got to understand, you can tap in to God Almighty. Do you know that's not a charismatic, monopolized act? We can tap into the Almighty God. He wants us to come boldly to the throne. He desires us to have fellowship with him. He desires us to talk to him. So do you think that if you were asking God, what direction do I go? This is where I'm at, oh God. This is the direction that I go. Do you think that he would be mute as of what direction you ought to go? Oh, I think you should seek counsel. I think it's very, very wise to seek counsel. I think it's very, very wise to meet with your pastor. I think it's very, very wise to meet with godly men that mean something to your life. I think it's very, very wise. But why in the world would we meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Why wouldn't we meet with the Almighty and build an altar there and say, you know what? The direction that my life is headed, I've got to know that I'm right. I can't, listen, I can't go in the wrong direction. Think about this for a moment. In your life, do you want to waste any time going in the wrong direction? Do you want to waste any time not going where God wants you to go? Here's Abraham. He's wandering. He's just doing what God has asked him to do. And he says, you know what? I'm going to stop right here. And God, what direction do you want me to go? And God directs him. Or do you already have your life all planned out and you don't need a map anymore? Or do we all have our life already figured out and we really don't need God's help? You know, as a preacher, we have no hope on tomorrow. We got the hope on tomorrow, but we don't know what we're going to do from day to day. You know, preachers have to be led by the Lord. I'm fully planning on being in school tomorrow, much to the chagrin of the children. But understand this. Do you know the Lord can move a preacher tomorrow? Do you know the Lord can give you a direction that you never thought was coming? You know, in your life, you may think you've got it all mapped out. You may think you've got everything planned. I wonder if it's time to build you an altar and say, oh, God, I want to make sure I go in the right direction. I know you told me to do this, God, but I want to make sure it's in the right direction. Isn't that something that's worth more than just a passing thought? Something that's worth more than just a day thought in your mind? Don't you think it's something worth spending some time at the altar alone with God and letting God show you? You know what's happened in our churches today? We care so little for the things of God. We care so little for getting His thoughts and His direction and His word. We care so little for that. Churches are failing all across America because they leave God out. And here's Abram in the middle of nowhere. You know, it would take a little bit of work to build an altar, I believe. You know, it takes a little bit of work to have a prayer life. Oh, I just spend 3 hours in the car in the morning. Nothing wrong with that. I would ride that tractor out on the church property and pray between my kidneys getting punched out. But it was a great time to pray. But you know what? I got more business done with the Lord when I got alone. No tractor driving. No noise. I spent more time with the Lord out in the underneath a pavilion, sitting there, begging God to do something. I like how quiet it is in here tonight. We talk about things that are important enough to pray about. Don't you think direction for Bethel Baptist Church is important enough to pray about? Don't you think direction for your lives is important enough to pray about? I look at these kids in the front row. Jolynn, you need to be praying now for God's direction for your life now. Don't expect grandma and grandpa to be the only ones that pray for you. Don't you think that preacher and Brother Dave and brother all the preachers here, don't think it's their job to pray for your direction. It's your job to get with God. You say, I'm just a kid. Believe me, He hears kids a lot better than He hears us sometimes. He prayed and asked the Lord, thanked Him for His appearing, and then asked Him for His direction. If you look at chapter 13, verse 1, and Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold, and he went into his journeys from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Now I want you to see this now. Let's read this again. He went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai. I love this. Under the place of what? He went under the place of the altar. He went under the very place that he was asking for direction. He went under the very place. He went back to this place. He came back with more stuff than he left with, by the way. He came back after the Lord had blessed him. He came back after he'd gone a little ways. He came back after the Lord had shown him some things. He came back after the Lord, and he decided there to remember God and all the wonderful things that God has done for his life. Wouldn't it be great? Do you think it's important enough to tell God thank you, to tell God what a wonderful God you are, and come to the altar and make that decision in your life to thank God for what he's done? He thanked him for his appearing. He got direction from him. And he comes back and says, God, look at what you've done for me. Do you know why we get so depressed? Do you know why we get so upset? Because we don't remember what God has done. 20 years ago, very soon, my wife and I will be married 20 years this year. God bless her heart. You need to make an altar and pray for her. 20 years ago, man, we're having our reception. We're getting ready. We didn't have two nickels. The whole family had like three nickels. And of course, we're going to go to him. I mean, who you need something, you go to him. He's Daddy Warbucks. And so we go to preacher. I don't have it. And this may seem trivial to you, but I'll never forget it. I lived in Toledo at the time, and we're trying to get the reception hall. We're not asking for the Taj Mahal. We're just asking for the reception hall. And we needed a couple of $1,000. I guess weddings aren't cheap. You know what's great about the Lord? What would the Lord care about that? Right? What would the Lord care about that? A reception. Why? Well, you know what he did. Do you know the Lord paid the entire bill? The Lord brought money into him, didn't bring it into me. I wasn't praying at the time. He was praying. The Lord brought money into him and paid. But that you say, well, that's just a financial story. Do you know it's a story that I hold on to? Why? Because the Lord cared about my wife and my wedding. The Lord cared. The Lord cared enough in the trivial, which may sound trivial to you people. Why would he care? Because God cares about you. Do you realize that there's times that I come back and remember that? And you know what? Take this for what it's worth. But there's times that I remember things that happened years and years and years ago, and I bring them to the altar and say, thank you. Maybe you forget stuff. But I don't do this near enough. See, I came to grips with something as I'm watching Abraham here. I'm watching Abraham build an altar or come back to the altar that he built and stop there and remember what had happened there. Remember what God had done. Remember what God had done through his life. Brother Mike, you're talking about all these years you've been out. I'm going to tell you right now, don't you forget the years that God had taken care of you. Kenny, don't you forget what God has done for you. Do you know what happens? We become mature Christians. We forget that God had done things to get us to this point. We act as though it was our greatness. We act as though God was lucky to get us. We act as though God had to pull back some of his greatness because we were so great. It took all of God's greatness to make me anything at all. It took all of God's greatness to get me saved. It took all of God's greatness to get me out of alcohol. It took all of God's greatness. Let me tell you, I'm not going to forget what he's done for me. That's why I can stand up in front of you and unequivocally say I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I take that to the altar a lot and say, God, thank you. Thank you for caring about me, a sinner. Do you know he loves you that much? Don't you think it's good to see how people forget the past? Forget the past. Forget the past. I say, no. I say, don't forget the past. That doesn't preach real good. Because people, I'll just leave those things. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. He was forgetting. He would not forget. Somebody say amen to me. You act as though you can forget what you've done. You can't forget it. Who do you think you are? Forgive and forget. If you can't forget, then you don't forgive. That'll drive you to a nut farm in 10 minutes. Because you're not going to forget. Don't act like you can. Unless you come down with Alzheimer's or something, you're not forgetting. What you got to do is thank God he's taking you through it. What you got to do is get to this altar. But my question to us tonight is, what's important enough? What is important enough that we'll get alone in our prayer closets? Because I dare say not many of us get alone with God. Sometimes, well, I'm going to say it. I wonder if you ever have. I mean, taking time to say, I can't deal with my phone, the internet, my email, Snapchat, Instagram. I can't deal with none of it. I've got to get alone with the Lord. When's the last time we saw it as important enough? I had some of the sweetest times. I don't know whatever made me stop. Some of the sweetest times going out on that church property, just sitting on those picnic benches that Brother Carl built, Brother Wes, with the big fat nail in the end so you knew it was ours if anybody took them. I had some of the sweetest times out there. Why? One, nobody else showed up. What do you mean? You don't want anybody else there? I don't want anybody else there. I really don't. Two, nothing else was going on. You ever had your life like that? Everything else is going on. What are you going to do? And the third thing was I just got to sit there and listen. You know, I didn't say anything. The vast majority of the time, maybe I'm less than most. I enjoyed just sitting there and listening. In my mind, my thoughts going to, Lord, if you want to tell me something, please go ahead and do it. I'm not talking about spooky type of stuff. I'm not. But I found some of the most peaceful times at that altar underneath that pavilion. I found some of the sweetest times thinking that it was important enough to head to that place. Important enough that it took a little bit of work to get there. Do you know prayer takes work? I know I've asked that once already, but you do realize where I'm going with this, right? Half of our revivals that we talk about in history were started by one man thinking it was important enough to pray. It was important enough to pray. See, I think that prayers, if in the top three of the most important things we can possibly do with our Christian life, prayer is one of them. The most important thing you can do is read your Bible. But right underneath that, and I'm going to tell you, there's not a whole lot of difference between them, is prayer. And you know, when somebody thought it was important enough, do you realize we don't live in a world? We can go back and talk about Billy Sunday and all those things. Glory to God, talk about him. But understand this, Billy's dead. Sunday, not him. He was just sleeping. Billy Sunday's gone. Dr. Hiles is gone. Those big revivals, those men, they're gone. Do you know God is still in the revival business? Would there be one that would think it would be important enough to build an altar and pray? I want that one to be me. You know, we've had that land for a long time. I've thought about this. There's a lot of stones out there. A lot of stones that iron tools have never touched. I know you know where I'm going. You know how many times I've thought about building an altar out there just for me? Oh, that's dumb. Yeah, really? You know how peaceful it is out there? Getting alone with the Lord? When's the last time you got into your prayer closet? I'm not talking about showing off. I'm not talking about that. When's the last time you talked to the Lord and thought it was important enough to make sure it was just you and Him? As we go on past remembrance, skip down to same chapter. Skip down to verse 14 in chapter 13. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, because Lot was never supposed to go with him. I'm not going to take time with that, but Abram didn't do everything he was told to do. Okay, but he thought it was important enough to talk to his God. You know, that kind of gives me hope. I don't do everything I'm supposed to do. I'm glad that other folks do. I'm not one of those guys that does everything he's supposed to do. I hope I'm one, though, that decides that it's important enough to talk to God even when I'm messing up. You know one of the biggest mistakes you can make is messing up and then blaming God? Messing up and ignoring God? Messing up and turning your back on God? Isn't that like double death? Here's Abram, didn't do everything he's supposed to do. He's supposed to leave the country with nobody with him. Just him and Sarah. And after Lot was separated from him, the Lord says, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and there decided it was important enough to build an altar unto the Lord. God gives him his promise, and he said, it's good enough. I'm going to go ahead and thank God right here. Now, here's my question. We always say, this is not our place to stay. If you think this is our final building, you're walnuts. Walls, nuts. Come on, Austin, give me one. That was funny. But let me tell you something. Have we built that altar? Huh? It's not enough just to let somebody else pray. Did you build an altar? Did you take the time, any time lately? Are you tired of it? I am. I'm tired of that sign. Aren't you tired of that sign? I'm tired of mowing the grass. Tired of it. I'm tired of getting stuck out in the church property. Can I help you out? Would you please stay on the road? I'm not kidding. Quit driving off of the road. We've got to mow that later. Your car's not going to make it. Your four-wheel drive truck is not going to make it. It's going to get stuck. You're going to make giant ruts, and you're going to leave them there. And then when the gentlemen ride the tractor, they make rides at Cedar Point that have less of a thrill. Aren't you tired, Bethel? Aren't you tired of having people ask me, how's your building program? Aren't you tired? Is it important enough, though? I got to ask you, is it important enough to build an altar? We got God's promise. Did we not get God's promise? Did we not? If we got God's promise, why didn't we build us an altar? Not a group-wide church altar. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you. Because you didn't agree with what he said? Because you didn't agree with how we went about it? And now you're willing to sit back. Boy, this is not easy preaching. I'm going to tell you, I feel bad right now. I really do. Are we willing to sit back and say, I'd have done it different? Because the way I would have done it, we'd have had a building by now? Well, you sit there and laugh. Don't you talk to me like that. Don't you think that you haven't thought those words? Did we ever build an altar? Because I know a man who can. See, I look at myself in the mirror and say, preacher, you preach big. And I do. I let you have it as much as possible. You preach big. Do you know how much preachers get beat up over their own material? You know how preachers, how much they get beat up? Do you know God tears us apart all the time? And if you're a preacher that's not getting tore apart, you need to come to grips with the fact you ain't living right. The closer I get to God, the worse I realize I am. And this may not be the most popular message been in the whole wide world, but when are we going to start building an altar because God gave us a promise? Did God not give Abram a promise? Did he not show him what he was supposed to have? Did he not say, this is it, walk in your land? This is the one I'm giving you. He gave him a promise, and Abraham says, hey, you know what? This is important enough. This is important enough. You may be comfortable in these mustard pews. I'm sick of looking at them. Abram thought it was important enough when God appeared to build an altar. He thought it was important enough to ask God for direction, and he built an altar. He thought it was important enough to go for a while and come back to that place of remembrance at that same altar and thank God for what he had done. And then when God gave him a promise in verse 18, he said, you know what? I'm going to build an altar here too. Abram was an altar builder. Abram knew what it was to see the power of God. That's going to be important for this next one. That's going to be important for the final one that I see. You know, it's no accident we get used to prayer because we're praying. Can you help me a little bit? Prayer is just so new to me. I've been saved for 500 years, but prayer is so new to me. Abram decided that he's going to be an altar builder so he could get alone. An altar builder, not so he could fill it with people. There's nothing wrong with an altar filled with people, but that wasn't what Abraham was looking for. Abraham was looking for a place that he could be alone. And it's very important because he had one more altar to build. And it's very important that he knew that that was a place of faith because he found faith at the altar. He knew that was a place of direction because he found direction at the altar. He knew it was a place of remembrance that God would do it at that altar. He knew that it was a place of promise. And that's why he built those altars. That's why he showed us as Christians, this is what we need to do in our lives. Look at Genesis chapter 22 with me. Verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. What kind of Christian are you? And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. You see, he already got direction from the Lord. He already got his promise. He already got the remembrance. He's going to remember, and he knows, and he knows, and he knows. And the Bible spells it out later. I'm not going to take time to go there. But Abraham knows that if he does what God is telling him to do, God will make it right. Why? Because he spent time at that altar. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, son, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? I look at my son and I can't even imagine him asking me that question. I can't even imagine him going through this with me and me being willing to do it. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I'm amazed at the weakness of our Christianity. I would not do this. I couldn't do this to my son. But Abraham had a promise. Abraham had direction. God had appeared to him. He had remembered what God had said. And he knew God would keep his promise. Behold the fire and the wood, Daddy. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to that place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. This last altar, you find obedience. He didn't sacrifice his son. He would have. The New Testament tells us because he believed that Jesus would raise his son from the dead. What a great man. He built this altar in obedience. And he got his answer. See, Abraham built these altars to show us something as Christians. Do you know it's not an accident that these are in here? Do you know it's not an accident that Abraham was an altar builder? He was somebody that knew what it was like and knew that he had to get alone with God and found things that were important enough to do this very same thing. We as Christians, I believe we miss the greatest part of the Christian life and that intimate relationship we can have with the Lord Jesus Christ because we have so much going on in our lives that we never have the time to get alone, to know what God's promise is for us, to know what God's direction is for us. Do you realize that the program was called 2000 AD? When we bought that property. 2000 AD. That puts us at 14 years almost. Can I ask you something, my friend? Along the way, have we built an altar? And I'm not, hey, listen, take it for what it's worth. But we believe we've got our promise. We believe we've got our direction. We believe, is it important enough for us to take to the altar? Is it important enough, or is it, you know what, it's only important enough for the staff to pray to God for what our future is. Are the staff prayers, preacher, I don't believe your prayers are more powerful than mine. I believe prayer is powerful no matter who's praying. I believe he prays more. I believe he talks to the Lord more. But whose fault is that? See, as we are going on through our life, is there anything, Brother Bill, that you feel is worth enough to make you an altar? Is there anything that you feel that's worthy for your Christian time to say, you know what, I can't watch football right now. I've got to go and get my altar time. And I say that because that's my problem. I can't do this. I've got school. And school's not bad. And you've got to be prepared to be with these kids. If you're not, they'll run you over in that room. But is it important enough to take that school to the altar? Is it important enough in your life, in the smallest things, is it not important enough to get alone with God and take some time to say, God, I'm going to read your Bible and then I'm alone. I'm going to get alone and pray. Can I ask you something? Do you even know what you'd say? Am I hitting home with anybody tonight? How are you going to start that prayer? Our Father, Almighty God, blessed be the Holy One of Israel, the anointed heavenly Father of cherubims and seraphims. You can do that. But God knows you're kidding. Huh? Or you could go ahead and say, Lord, I love you. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Lord, I need your direction. I'm not sure which way to go. Does it sound to you like I'm talking to the King of Kings or talking to my friend? I believe the Lord wants you to talk to him just as you speak. I believe the Lord wants something from here, not from here. I believe the Lord wants us to come to him. Brother Colton, I believe that it's important enough. Lord, You have had some decisions that you've been making in your life, and Colton, I think it's important enough. What you're talking about, son, I think is important enough to build you an altar. Jimmy, you're young yet. You should pray for your jump shot, because I'm here to tell you. I'm just kidding. Jimmy, your time is coming, son, where decisions are going to have to be made for your life and your future. Don't you think it's important enough now to develop a prayer life? Because Abraham, listen, which is the biggest test? I know the time is running out. Whatever. What was the biggest test that Abraham faced? Was it the first one? Get up and get out? Or was it the last one? Sacrifice your son. Now let me ask you a question. I don't know. I'm real deep. You ready to get deep? Here comes the depth. It was not as hard to leave Ur of the Chaldees as it was to raise the knife above his son. Thank God he was prayed up when he got here. Why can't you find any victory? Because you haven't won any. Because you haven't taken time to get alone with God in the easy things. Why do you think that God's going to show up for the hard? See, the Bible talks about our faith and the exercising thereof. Don't you think, Pastor Dave, that it's time for you to find you an altar? Yes, God, I think it is. Because there's things coming that we're going to need to have altars in our past that we have already prayed at, that we have already built and already saw God's victories. Why can't you let loose of your tithe? Because you never built an altar for your finances. By the way, there's some things you don't need to pray about. Do you know giving is not one of them? That's a command, brother. You ain't got to pray about that. I get the biggest kick out of preaching. Give what you feels right. Give what you feels right. It's going to get a curse on your household. You better give what God has asked you to give, and that's a tenth plus offerings. I know that ain't popular preaching, but whatever. We're here late anyhow. The Broncos game's almost over. Don't panic. Cleveland ain't playing ever this late in the year, so what's the difference? I'm going to tell you right now, we better start getting ourselves as exercised Christians. We better start getting ourselves as exercised Christians so we can see the deliverance and see the promise at the end. I've seen so many deliverances in my life. I've seen so many. You would think that I would have a spot that I would get alone daily to be with God. And yet here I am preaching this to you, coming to the understanding that I don't. What would you rather have me do? Lie to you? Lie to you and tell you, oh, I certainly get into my prayer closet every day. We should. We take this way too lightly. We treat it as though it's a text message. Prayer is not a text message. Prayer is not a sent email. Prayer is time that we spend alone with our King. Prayer is a time that is a sweet fellowship with our Lord that desperately wants us to have His direction, that desperately wants to appear to us, that desperately wants us to remember the great things that He's done for us, that desperately wants us to receive His promise, and definitely wants us to obey. So you get through these first altars. Do you know it's not hard to obey anymore? Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this evening. Lord, help each and every one of us, myself included. Lord God, I've got to find a time to get alone with you. Lord God, I've got to find a time that's important enough. I've got to have a heart that thinks it's important enough to get alone with you. And Lord God, I love these people. I pray that each and every one of us find it important enough to get alone with you at your altar, taking time enough to pray at your altar, seeking all these things that Abraham saw, and reveling as you answer. Lord God, help us to be obedient. Help us to put in the work that prayer requires. Help us, Lord, to have a deep desire in our heart to have sweet and wonderful fellowship with our Savior. I believe the things of this earth would really grow strangely dim if we spent time with you. Lord, help me. I'm asking for me now. Oh, God, help me. Help me to seek you out. Help me to pray. Help me to get in my closet, Lord, and close the door behind me. Help me, Lord, to find that place, that altar. Help me to put in the time and the work and the effort. Lord God, not to look for blessings. Oh, God, I don't deserve those. Lord, just to have that time with you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this truth. Lord, I believe this church is going to go forward. I believe with all my heart. But believing in it's not enough. Lord, we've got to put feet to that belief and talk to you and get alone with you and seek you out and work and build and do the things that we ought to do as Christians. And Lord, then I believe you'll show forth when we have obeyed. You'll show forth and give the answer. Lord, please help us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Pastor.